We're doing the Sefer Hamidot Sha'ar Hayirah Perek Gimel. We're up to page Kuf Yud Tet, and the Magid Midubna had been expanding and really dissecting this trait of awe we're supposed to have before God, that our actions are supposed to be what we call with Yirat Shemaim, with the fear of heaven, with the yoke of heaven upon us, the awe of heaven upon us. And the Magid Midubna continues and says, "Hamida azot en lagvul ve'erech lomar ad po tavo." This trait of being a God-fearing person, he has no limit. A person shouldn't say, "Well, this is as far as it goes. This is much awe of heaven I'm supposed to have." Ki im kol echad efi asagato, but rather every person is supposed to attain according to his capacity. Besumo zichon adonav belibo, when he's takes note of the fact that his master exists. When he takes note of that, and as we discussed, that's the first level of Yiras Shamayim, that my behavior is reflective of a recognition there's a God in the world. And remember, we discussed that this is at the core of being a moral person. Everything else, well, doesn't stand up to temptation that well. We could philosophize about a lot of things. But when temptation stands in the way, if I don't feel like God is in the room, then the temptation usually overcomes. Our history and our daily news are filled with stories of people who succumb to temptation. And there are all kinds of temptations out there. And the one thing which can stand the test is if a person develops that notion, that realization that God is here, God is watching. It's not easy, as we discussed in the earlier chapters, but it is our responsibility. And when a person takes note, elokuto veromimuto, when he takes note that God, well, he's controlling the world and he's way above this whole world. If a person takes time to look at God's creatures, at the great wisdom that's invested in everything God creates. Kemamar, as the verse says in Isaiah, Yeshaya, the 40th chapter, the prophet implores of the people, lift your eyes up above and see who created all that. Very often things that are down below we have answers for. Well, this table, let's look under the table. What does it say? IKEA or who knows what. You look at things down below, you have all kinds of answers. Who created them? So the prophet says, okay, look above. Now answer that. Who created that? Omnam gam she'en nashiur lemala. So we said that being a God-fearing person has no limit. A person is supposed to develop it and keep developing it his whole life. So although there is no limit when we go upward in the scale of being a God-fearing person, yesh lashiur lemata, nonetheless, there is a minimum. As our sages said, that if someone walks in a haughty manner, what Chazal say, his back is arched, what we call his nose is in the clouds. You guys, I'm sure you've had opportunity to see that. There are some people who are always walking like they're looking down at the world. You guys see people walk that way? The Talmud says, there's a way that people walk that reflects arrogance. That they look at you at a distance. I had a friend, we're still friends, I just haven't spoken to him in a few years, but he was a very, very prominent lawyer. And he'd literally walk like this. You'd see him walking like he was walking in the courtroom. His back was arched backwards, and you couldn't walk close to him. He was literally looking down his nose at you. So at one point, I thought it was he had back problems, but then you started hearing the way he spoke, and... okay, fine, you know, each person with their strengths and weaknesses. But the Talmud says that if a person walks in a manner that's reflective of arrogance, so then God says, "Ki'ilu dochek ragle ha-shchina." It's as though he's pushing God's feet out of earth. We say earth is supposed to be God's footstool, so to speak. God is supposed to have a presence down below. Well, if we walk around like we run the show, arrogance is reflective of a person's feeling that he's in control, so then... what we're showing is, God, you're not in the picture, I'm the one that runs the show here. And that's what the Talmud says, that one who walks in an arrogant fashion, it's as though he's pushing God's feet out of the earth. He's saying, get out of my way. Ki hayira pchuta shelo yaspik bilada, because the minimum amount of fear, awe, that a person should have before his creator, that's the minimum, he can't do without it.
he sheitzayer la'atzmo anhagato ka'anhagato b'moshav zkenim ansheshim.
That is, that a person envisions his behavior and he fashions his behavior as it would be if he were sitting in front of respectable people. If your grandfather was in the room, would you talk that way? Would you behave that way? Yeah, you think of someone who you value, someone who's older, someone who you respect. Ken yan hagato, and that's the way a person's behavior should be. That's the minimum. And such a person should gauge his speech, his actions. And that's the minimum, even when a person's in private, when he's all alone. They say, don't read a book you wouldn't want to be caught dead with, because you never know when you're going to die. There are things that we should do that it's not only I never know when I'm going to die, but it's also I have to realize I'm not alone in the room. Some people put on their laptop that the screensaver is a picture of their Rebbe. So whenever they're not using the laptop, they have a reminder when they're coming to use it, hey, wait a second, would I be doing this if he was looking over my shoulder? So really, it's not your Rebbe, it's God. But Chazal knew that it's easier for a person to envision a human being. So they said, okay, imagine there were someone you respected in front of you. How would you behave? And the person has to think about that. And that's the minimum. He says that's the minimum level of Yiras Shamayim. That our actions should be no less than they would be if we were in the presence of someone who we respected. And it's interesting, this also has halachic ramifications. We say that a Jew who doesn't keep Torah and mitzvot, so we have a problem drinking the wine that he handles. Just as Chazal instituted that if a non-Jew touches wine, if that wine wasn't cooked, if that wine is wine that's a good wine, so then that wine is prohibited from use. So the Torah forbids wine that was libated before idols. The rabbis expanded that to any wine that was handled by a non-Jew, because in their day and age, non-Jews were so into this that any time they'd handle wine, if you weren't looking, they'd take a drop and libate it for an idol, maybe pour it back, but they were very into this. So Chazal said, if it was handled by him, you don't have control. If it was closed under lock and key, you have a bottle of wine that's closed with a cork and sealed shut, okay, you have nothing to worry about. But if an open bottle of wine was in the hands or in the presence, unguarded, in the presence of a non-Jew, so then a Jew is not going to be able to drink that wine. Now, that halacha applies not only to a non-Jew, but also a Jew who's not observant of Torah and mitzvot. A Jew who's not observant. So we also have a problem with the wine that he's going to handle, because in Chazal's time, the same thing applied. Jews who were not observant could do the same thing a non-Jew did. So Chazal expanded that. And in these halachas, it's discussed, how do you gauge a Jew? So, okay, you know, a Jew keeps Shabbos, you know, he keeps kosher, that's okay, it's not a problem. You don't have to check every mitzvah, that's not what we're talking about. The halacha says, what happens if he smokes on Shabbos? He drives a car on Shabbos. But there's one person, it could be his grandfather, it could be the chief rabbi of Israel, there is a rabbi who he respects, who in front of him he wouldn't desecrate the Shabbos. In front of him he wouldn't eat his pork. If there's one person in his life who he respects, who in front of him he won't do these sins, then we say, okay, you could still drink the wine he handles. I mean, we don't assume that he'd go so far as to do something improper, and you'd be able to drink that wine. If you brought wine, or he was a guest in your home, and you had wine that was not cooked, so then that would be okay. So you see, this concept of how a person behaves in front of someone who he respects, this concept has halachic ramifications too. We say that we should expand that to everything we do. We should behave in a manner that we'd behave in front of someone we respect. But the mere basis, this concept that we behave differently in front of someone we respect, that concept has other halachic ramifications as well. This isn't easy, but it's important. Chazal tell us that so long as Shlomo's Rebbe was alive, he didn't marry Pharaoh's daughter. Right after his Rebbe died, then he married Pharaoh's daughter. So you see, even Shlomo, he was so wise, and yet he behaved differently when his Rebbe was around. Chazal say you should try living in a neighborhood where your Rebbe is present, because it'll affect the way you behave if he sees what you're doing. And if you listen to him, Shlomo listened to his Rebbe, so he wouldn't do something his Rebbe didn't approve of. Depends on the person. In our day and age, most Rebbeim don't say anything. We had a student here once. I don't remember where he was from, somewhere in Europe. He once asked me, why don't you call me when I don't show up to shiur? So I said, that's my policy. I never breathe down anyone's back. So he told me that where he came from in Europe, his Rebbe would call him. If he didn't show up to shiur, he'd get a phone call right after shiur. Where were you today? He didn't show up for davening, his Rebbe would call him. And he liked that. Okay, so some people can live that way. Most people can't live that way. Today, most of us can't have someone breathing down our back, and we don't appreciate it. But nonetheless, we do behave differently when we're in the presence of someone who we respect. And the Magen Midvarnei is saying that's the minimum level of Yiras Shamayim. That a person should work on having his behavior throughout the day and throughout the year be that type of behavior that he wouldn't be embarrassed if his Rebbe were standing there. His Rebbe or someone else who he respects.